Thank you, Diana. It's amazing to hear so many people that are part of so many different clubs and societies. What an incredible opportunity we've got to see what an impact of God through those things. It's amazing. So today, this morning, we're looking at Isaiah 43, A Journey Through Change. And this is part of our series on change. We're not just talking about change in the church, although obviously we are going through change as a church at the moment. But as we've heard about in the children's talk, we all go through individual change in our lives. And my prayer is today that even though it might not be relevant to you in this moment, that you'll remember these words in times to come. And when maybe change is hitting you a little bit harder, God will use them to help you in your journey of change. So let's pray. Lord, thank you that you are here with us this morning, Lord. Lord, would you open our ears and our hearts to hear you and to hear what you want to say this morning, Lord. I don't want it to be my words, I want it to be your words, Lord. So I pray that you would speak into each person's life, God, and let them know what they need to hear from you this morning. Amen. So we're going to start by reading Isaiah 43, verses 1 and 2, which says this, "But now, this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, and the flames will not set you ablaze." I love these first two verses because God sets the foundation for this whole passage in those verses. He says, do not fear. He says, you are mine. He says, I'm with you. And he says, I'm with you no matter what happens. And in times of change, our foundation in God has to be strong. That is the most important thing in a time of change, is our relationship with God. Now, I have, as most of you know, I work for a Christian organisation. I've been there a long time now. And during my time there, we've had a couple of major changes, I would say. And in the first change, Andy mentioned last week, John 15, God talked to us about pruning. It's always an interesting word when God speaks to you about, says, I'm going to prune you. You're kind of like, okay, God, what's coming next? And I remember, because me and my husband had literally just joined the leadership, so there were about 16 people, and we were the last ones to join. And I remember very clearly one of our leaders, Ray, saying, you know, you don't know, some people in this room might be gone. And in my head, I thought, that's going to be us. Because, you know, last in, first out, that's what you think, isn't it? And we kind of went on this journey of pruning, which was not easy at the time, and was quite difficult. And when you go through times of change, it's easy for you to react to situations or to say things sometimes that aren't in your nature. During this time of change, Ray, who's one of our founders, got really ill. He had burnout, physical burnout, couldn't get out of bed. Was really struggling, couldn't really do anything at that time. I remember someone kind of saying, well, why can't Ray meet with me? You know, my needs are more important than how he's feeling. Now, I'm sure that person didn't go into that intentionally thinking that's what I'm going to say, but in times of change, we can react to things, can't we? And if our relationship with God isn't strong enough to survive when our leaders are having a tough time, or that we need our leaders to validate who we are or make us feel important by meeting with us, then we haven't got a strong enough relationship with God. Now, leaders are there to guide us, they're there to help us, but they are never a substitute for God. And so often, aren't they, leaders are put on a pedestal. We've seen it a lot recently in our society where they've been put on a pedestal and they've perhaps fallen. And no leader is perfect. None of us are perfect. We're all human. We all make mistakes, you know, and it's the same with leaders. They're not God. Our relationship with God has to be our number one priority throughout our life. But remembering in that in times of change is even more important. I'm going to read from 1 Samuel 30, verses 1 to 6. I just want to dip into one of the stories of David. And it says this. David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it, and had taken captive the woman and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in the spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found his strength in the Lord his God. That was probably one of the most, or if not the most, challenging days in David's life. A day when even his own men turned against him and were talking of stoning him. But that last sentence, it tells us that David strengthened himself in the Lord. He found his strength in the Lord. So what does that mean? Well, later on in Scripture, David was called a man after God's own heart. Why? Well, I believe it was because in times of crisis, David turned to God to pray, to worship, to hear what God was saying, to read his word. And what do we do when we find things tough? And when we go through change, we often do find things difficult. Well, we need to remember those first two verses of Isaiah. To remember, don't fear. To remember that we belong to God. And to remember that God is with us, no matter what happens. But then we also need to remember David's example. You know, the Psalms are full of it. Pray, worship, read our Bible, listen to God. And when we start to practice these things in our daily lives, not just in times of change, they become our habits in times of change and crisis. I joined NGM in 1997. Up until about 2006, I was probably still one of those people who opened my Bible, tried to open it most days, didn't always manage, go to the favourite passage, see what we want to read today, have a read, you know, pray about something, and that was kind of it. That was what my time with God consisted about. And for about 2 years, they've really been teaching us, you know, it's so important to spend time with God every day, to put that aside. I just had my eldest son, Joe, and it was quite a crazy time in our house. And I remember going out on this booking where Nancy was speaking, and I was just there to help her. And she preached a message that she'd probably preached about several times. I'd heard it during this time, but suddenly God went to me, yeah, you have to spend time with me every day. And I got home and I thought, right, the only time I can do it is early in the morning, 6 a.m. But actually, somewhere along the way, when I started doing that, yes, you kind of have to push yourself the first few days to do that. But somewhere along the way, it went from actually having to do it to really wanting to do it, to really wanting to spend time with God. Now, you might not be a morning person. Early morning might not be the best time in the day for you. But I encourage you to find that time. Find it now, you know, especially if you're not in a difficult time, because there'll become a time when it will be real strength to you. And some of you will have heard me talk about this before. The other major change we had in our organisation was when Nancy's husband, Ray, who was one of the co-founders, died. And, you know, when you're a leader in that situation, there is no manual and no handbook that tells you what to do. You know, we have been praying as an organisation. We've been believing for healing. You know, we're going in every morning saying, right, let's pray for this. He was improving, coming off his medication. Then out of nowhere, he was gone. And there was a lot of heartache, there was a lot of pain. Ray and Nancy still is, really close friends of ours. You know, I went up to be with them as a family, that's what she wanted me to do. I remember telling our leaders in NGM that night, and just kind of phoning them, you kind of just get onto this role, don't you? And you kind of like, he sighed, I don't really know what else to say. And Nancy posted this incredible Facebook post, which I know I've mentioned before, but I just think it's so amazing. She said, God, I don't understand, but I choose to trust. And the next morning, after about an hour's sleep, I think I had that night, I had to go in and face NGM. I was kind of the senior leader left at the time. And I was just going to God, I don't have a clue what to do in this moment. What do you do? You know, it wasn't what we're expecting. It wasn't what we're praying for. I don't have the answers as to why. And I went in and I was just really honest and trusted God. And that was when that verse came back to me, that God is close to the brokenhearted. See, when we read our scripture every day in those times, that's when God reminds us. Yeah, remember this? Remember what I told you there? We decided together that we'd worship and pray together that evening. We used to have our church on a Tuesday night anyway, because often we were out on a Sunday. And I just said to them, be honest. And I remember somewhere along the line, through flooded tears, praying out, Lord, I don't understand at all, but I choose to trust. And you know, it became a reality in my life, that one prayer in the hardest times. And I would never have got through that time without God strengthening me. And because it had become a daily thing that I did, spending time with God, it was still a daily thing that I did when the time was really hard. And without God strengthening me every day, I wouldn't have got through those days. Now, I'm by no means perfect. Some mornings I get up and fall asleep. Some mornings I get up and look at my phone first and then end up scrolling. And I've made lots of mistakes. But, you know, God has plans for when we face those situations in life that there's no manual for, that we feel like, what do we do? God's got plans for us. And, you know, Andy mentioned last week, God often uses times of change to shape our character and prune us. We sometimes wish that wasn't the case, but it is. Back in probably about 2008, I was the PA to the directors at the time in NGM, and I was looking after our training department. We probably had about 60 young people who were Christians who would come for a year and take a year out. And I loved looking after training, but I did have an awful lot to do, and they kind of said, no, it's time to bring a training manager in. Now, she was a lovely lady, but it really quickly became evident that she didn't have her skills to do the job. And I had a choice in that situation. Out of my insecurity and jealousy, I could very easily react and go, well, look at what she's doing wrong. She's not doing it right. I've just been totally honest. This is everything that went through my head. And, well, maybe not everything. Some things might not be suitable to share. Or did I go and help and encourage her, whether I got the recognition or not? And it was a real battle, I'll be totally honest. But through it, God taught me that my identity was in him and I'm not defined by what I do. And that's the journey God has to teach me quite often sometimes. But that's the same for each one of us. Jesus doesn't say anywhere in scripture he loves a speaker more, he loves a ministry leader more, he loves, you know, an evangelist more. He loves us all the same. And if our place shifts during a time of change, it doesn't mean God loves us any less. It all goes back to that first point. We have to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. And strengthening ourselves in God means trusting him, doesn't it? Giving over control, surrendering. Now, I can be a bit of a control freak at times. I don't know if anyone else here can relate to that. See a few giggles, a few smiles. I love it when God says he's doing something new, but the control freak side of me says, God, that's great, and here's how it's going to happen. Anyone else relate to that? Just being honest. But we know that's not what happens, is it? And we learn that's not the way. And in order to trust, we have to surrender. In order to embrace change, we have to be flexible. We have to let go of control. We have to say, God, you do it. I want you to do this more than, you know, my feelings or what's going on here. God is building something here in this church bigger than any of us can imagine. But we have to not get in the way. We have to surrender. We have to trust. We have to work with God. Last week, we sang the song Oceans. And the refrain in that song always really gets me. And it's one of those songs that you're easy to just kind of launch in and sing the refrain. But the words, Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you may call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Saviour. Are we really meaning that when we sing it? It's a challenge, isn't it? Because so often it's difficult when God takes us through times of change or to the place where our trust is without borders. I don't know if any of us are there yet. We might not get there till we get to heaven, but, you know, it's a challenge and it's so important to say, God, I trust you that much. I want you to take me to this place. We're going to go on in Isaiah 43 and we're going to read from verses 16 to 21, which says this. This is what the Lord says, he who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honour me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. And the reason I chose Isaiah 43, was that is the verses that God gave us in NGM through our second major time of change. About 2 years before Ray died, he felt God speaking through these verses. And God had said to us, we were doing the Christian training, like I'd explained, they were with us for a year, and God said to us, I want you to take your training to the other side. I want you to train people who aren't Christians. And we kind of tried to work it through and think, well, how does that work? We have Christian people staying in the building. We can't have non-Christian people staying in the building as well. That won't work well. And how are they going to get on with these bits and that bit and whatever? And got to the point where we're like, God, if it's you, you've got to do it, because we can't figure this out. And the first phase in there is an excitement, isn't it? You know, there's an excitement that God's saying something new. God's making ways in the desert. That's virtually impossible. That's exciting. And we're in this phase now as a church. You know, Andy and Ellie have come here to join us, and it's exciting. You can whoop or you're not looking really serious. Andy's excited. But if you go back to verse 16, the first verse in that passage, God was reminding them he made a way through the sea. That's what he did with the Israelites, isn't it? He parted the sea. Now, that was eventually exciting and miraculous. But to get to that point, they first endured all the plagues, not being let go, being chased across the desert by an army. And eventually, when there was nowhere else to go, God stepped in. Now, I'm sure when the Israelites first heard that Moses was going to Pharaoh to ask him to let them go, there was probably a bit of excitement, maybe a bit of fear, but maybe excited. They were probably full of faith. Someone's going, finally. This is where we're at. And verse 19 says this. It says, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And I believe that this verse is for our church at this time. I believe that God is doing a new thing here in us, and that he's going to make a way through this wilderness of what, and through this town and the surrounding villages that we want to see impacted, and make his streams of love flow through it. And that exponential increase, like Ellie talked about at the induction, I believe that it will come. But you know, it's not always easy, is it, going through times of change? Sometimes God does grant our prayers easily, but more often than not, when we're pioneering into new territory, we face a battle from the enemy, don't we? And for us in NGM, the first time we went through change, the pruning, the battle that we faced was disunity. And the enemy managed to sow some seeds, which unfortunately spread. But when there is change, when there's something new, disunity can so easily take hold. We need to be strong enough in the Lord that when we feel a bit put out, a bit disgruntled, we go to God first. And we ask him why we're feeling this way, and is there anything we should do? You know, practically, maybe there does need to be a conversation, but it shouldn't be our first reaction. We should come with grace and with truth and love in these situations. You know, ask questions. There's nothing wrong with asking questions. Sometimes it helps our understanding. But, you know, don't assume you're right and the other person is wrong. Someone told me this great illustration, which I have always remembered about. If you imagine two people standing on a beach and one is at one end and one is at the other end, they've got a completely different viewpoint of the same beach. And that's what happens in situations. And we have to stay united with one another, even if we don't see eye to eye. It is really important. And actually, God often uses what happens in our past to strengthen and help us in times of change, didn't they? My parents were church leaders when I was younger. And I remember we went through a really tough time in the church. There were times when people said horrible things about my parents. They tried to protect us from it because we were quite little, me and my brother at the time. But the thing I remember most about that is actually the people who stood by them, the people who loved on them, the people who encouraged them and who helped them. And I hadn't realised actually that that was what kind of embedded it in me, that actually in times of change, it's important to stand by and to love on our leaders and all of those around us. You know, the second time of change in NGM that I talked about, we faced that huge battle with Ray's health, which eventually led to him dying. Now, everything could so easily have fallen apart at that time. And it was time of challenge. There was disunity. People would come and they would say, you know, to Nancy, well, if Ray was alive, that wouldn't have happened. We all sit there and like to think that wouldn't be our reaction, but we never know until we're in those situations. But you know, no one knows. No one could ever answer that question anyway. Nancy could probably come closest, but no one could. But you know, don't cast aside people who are hurting in times of trouble, but don't react out of your hurt either, in times of change, sorry. You know, even if they're leaders or deacons or whatever, we all go through challenging times. Surround them with love and care. And the most important thing is to pray for them. It's not easy leading people through times of change. It can be quite difficult. But praying for them is the best thing you can do. And going to God first, if you're feeling a little unsettled, is so important. So that if you come to someone, you're coming from the right place. Now, there's another really important thing in this passage, which is in verse 18. It says, forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. And this is going to be a key for us as a church. You know, let's not get stuck in the past. Let's not say, well, Tom wouldn't have done it this way, or we don't like this, or whatever. You know, we need to be, even if we're unsure, well, I'm unsure, but I'm going to trust Andy. I'm going to put my weight behind him because I believe he's called to be here. And calling is so important. You know, particularly for the members, you all felt yourself being called to this church at this time, at some time, yeah? And if God has called you somewhere, you don't step out of it until God tells you it's time. You know, in NGM, when we went through that first time of pruning, lots of our friends and co-leaders left. And actually, they completely shut us off. It was really difficult for us. And my husband got asked by one of them, they were out playing golf one day, why are you staying? There's nothing left to stay for. And my husband's answer was, because God hasn't told us to go yet. We questioned ourselves a lot of times during then that we're doing the right thing, but God hadn't told us to go. You know, remember your calling to be part of this church. And if things get a little bumpy during times of change, it's all right to question it with God, but don't go anywhere if God hasn't said to. Because you'll miss out on what God's got for you. I would have missed out on so much if we left in 2009. But yeah, you know, when Ray got ill in 2015, it coincided with a big family drama we had going on, and it literally felt like everything was falling apart. You know that saying, all hell is breaking loose? It was that, honestly. And God did some incredible miracles during that time. Ray's journey was still going, but our family one had resolved. And I kept thinking back to it and thinking, what could have been different? Why did it have to happen? And replaying these things over and over in my mind, I was really struggling to move on. And someone, without knowing any of my situation, gave me this prophetic word. And she said, I've got this picture of a car and you're driving it and you're looking in the rearview mirror all the time. And God's saying it's time to look on the road ahead. Do you know that transformed my thinking and my life? And I still remember it. This day in situations, if I'm looking back at something, God reminds me of it. It's not always easy, believe me, but it's so important. You know, pruning brings fruit, brings the fruit of the Spirit, like Andy said last week, but it also brings fruit in what we're doing as a church, as well as individuals in our lives. It doesn't mean we like a process. I'm not prophesying that we're about to go through a time of pruning, but, you know, it refines us to make us more like Jesus. And hanging on in times of change does the same. Jesus can refine us on that journey. I won't leave you hanging. I will finish the journey. Well, we're not finished the journey in NGM at all, but God closed down the Christian training over time, and somewhere in the mess and the pain and clinging on to dear life at times for God, God did it. You know, we now see 220 young people, most of whom aren't Christians, come into our complex every week to be trained in the performing arts. And we're starting to see God move in families. Let me tell you, just this week, we have a well-being book club. They're going through the book that I wrote with a lady, and one of the mums who comes to that said to her, "Can you tell me, what does it mean to be a Christian?" So she got to tell her all about what it meant to be a Christian. She invited her to come to something we're doing, and she was so excited. She said, "Oh, I'm going to bring my mum as well." Wouldn't it be amazing to see that stuff happen here, to see this church full of people who want to explore Christianity? You know, it's amazing what happens when we let go and we let God move. So, in this time of change as a church, or the change you're going through in life, perhaps, I want to encourage you to remember who God is. He is our unchangeable God. To remember that God is with us always. To strengthen ourselves, strengthen yourself in the Lord. Spend time with him. Even if you're in a really good place at the moment, that's the most important time to do it, because then it kicks in when things are tough. Remember that God is doing a new thing here. Don't look back, and most importantly of all, let's stand strong together. We're going to pray in a moment, but I just really felt that word about not looking back that Gave was actually for some people here. Perhaps you've got situations in your lives where you keep looking back on them and keep getting pulled back by them, and you can't focus on what's in front of you. And God wants to change that for you today and give you a hope for the future. Once I've prayed, we're going to go into worship, but the prayer team are actually going to be at the back. So don't miss the opportunity during worship. You know, say to someone, "Actually, I really feel that's for me. I need help moving on." You know, God can do way more we can ask or imagine. I can't tell you the details of what happened, but he has, honestly, and he still is for me. So let's pray. God, we thank you that you are a rock, Lord, that you are unchanging in times of change, Lord. And I pray for every person here, Lord, that you would just cement in them what you've spoken to them about this morning, Lord Jesus. That you, Lord, particularly for those who are struggling, stuck in situations in the past, Lord, I pray that you would really help them to look forward, to all that you have for them, Lord. And I pray that you would help us to do that as a church, Lord, to get excited about what you've got for us, to get excited about seeing this place full of people who have come to know you, Lord, through what you're doing in this church. Amen.